In the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 6, and I know that God is talking to the nation of Israel, but they were the ones that had His Word. They were the ones that were supposed to be the example to the world surrounding them, but they dropped the task that God had given them. And if you don't have this verse marked in your Bible, mark it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, God is not talking about scientific knowledge. He's not talking about worldly knowledge. He's talking about knowledge of His Word is what He's talking about. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, you've rejected Me. You've rejected the Word I've given you. I have given you the Word that you need to live by, and that's this Bible. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to Me. Now, the priest was the one that was responsible for taking God's Word to the people. And then the people were responsible for taking it to all the nations around them. They were to be the example. I really think this country was founded to be an example to the world and using God's Word. So if He's talking to the ancient Israelites about using His Word as an example to the world and them living the life they should live, then He's talking to us Americans. We were the ones after the Revolutionary War who started putting missionaries around the world, who printed Bibles by the millions and still do. And we the ones to be the example to the whole world. And what are we doing with it? We're doing just like the ancient Israelites did. We've got to take His Word and we cast it out. We don't need it anymore. That thou shalt be no priest to Me. We're supposed to be priests. The Bible says that we are priests in our lifetime here as Christians. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Notice what he says. You have taken My Word, which is My law that I gave you, and because of this, I will also forget thy children. Your children are going to suffer because of what you're doing. Now, in our nation right now, I'm going to say this, and I got children, I got grandchildren, and I got great-grandchildren now, too. I've entered that category as well. They're going to suffer if this nation does not change its ways. All of us are going to see that. All of us have got children, grandchildren that we love dearly. And I hate to see that happen, but that's exactly what God's Word says is going to happen if this nation does not change its ways. I want to share a few things with you before we close this lesson here. There's some things that have happened last week and the week before that. Now, some of you sent me some information, and I appreciate it. I've had a ton of information sent me by everybody. But there's a few things that I want to share with you. There's a lot of these things. I just want to share a few with you to let you know what's really going on right now in our midst, in our country. Pay attention. This article was sent to me by somebody in this class. I'm not going to say who. And I'm not going to give the names in this of the details in here. I will say this. I have had this checked out at the Pentagon. Okay? You can't get any higher than what I'm about to tell you as far as authenticity. And I held this until I could get it checked out at the Pentagon. There's a retired vice admiral. Again, I'm not going to give his name. But he works with a foundation called Catch a Dream Foundation. This is a group here that provides hunting and fishing trips to children with life-threatening illnesses. It's a charity to help these kids. Any of you have had very sick children or had children that had a terminal illness like I did, appreciate people who do these things. Now, this is a retired vice admiral. He invited a very highly decorated sergeant of the Green Beret, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I don't know how many of you know where Fort Bragg is. I do. I used to fly in there all the time over Bonnie's house. So I know Fort Bragg very well. This Army sergeant, very highly decorated. He was wounded so badly they didn't think he was going to live. But he survived anyway. He does inspirational speaking at different groups. Now, this vice admiral asked him to speak to this group that was raising charity money for these sick children. Everything had been approved. His commanding officer at Fort Bragg had approved it, and everything was fine and all that. But at the last minute, the commander-in-chief of the United States military, President Obama, made a policy that no U.S. servicemen can speak at any faith-based public events anymore. Now, this comes from the Pentagon, okay? So this gives you some idea of what's going on in your midst, even in the military now. So this is the same thing that Hitler did, okay? These are the same tactics that Hitler did, slowly, one step at a time. Now, I'm going to go and say this, too. There was a lot more information that was given to me from the Pentagon about what's going on in our military and things that are being done to our military people who are Christians and who are wanting to do things like this. If it involves anything Christian, they're not allowed to do it anymore. Okay? That just gives you some idea of what's going on. There's another thing that happened. This happened, I believe, was last week. This shows you the extent, the absolute idiotic extent that this is going to. Now listen to this. There was a flower bed that was shaped like a cross in Columbus, Georgia. All right? Now this is the center of the Bible Belt. All right? There was just a flower bed shaped like a cross. There was a non-Christian in the town that raised concerns with the city's mayor and determined that the cross violated the law. This is just a flower bed out here. Here's what the mayor said. We had some complaints from other citizens not of the Christian faith. The mayor, Teresa Thomason, made this statement here. The Windsor Park Homeowners Association was responsible for upkeep of the flower bed and request of city officials. They removed the two arms that made the cross. Now the cross is shaped like a rectangle and conforms to federal law. Okay? The federal law says you can't have a flower bed in public grounds that's shaped like a cross. Just because one person says we don't like this, all right? The whole town has to give up this. They actually physically reformed the Christian cross into a rectangular flower bed, the mayor said, but they did so only after the city told them the cross was no longer welcome in the public park. All right? The flower bed had been part of the Lake Heath Park for decades. Large stones had been positioned to form the outline of the cross. But Mayor Thomason said that the symbol ran afoul of a 1983 federal court ruling that she said banned Christian crosses from public land. What did Hitler do? He took out any semblance of Christianity from the public. It's exactly what he did. She cited a court case involving a 50-foot lighted cross in another county of Georgia. That particular cross had been part of the community for over 40 years, she said, until someone complained. A Christian cross or a symbol of any particular faith could not permanently rest in the park, she said, so we had to abide by the applicable law. Now that gives you some idea of how absolutely asinine, ridiculous this is becoming in our country. This is the heart of the Bible Belt. And it just goes on and on. I got a list here of things just on and on and on of things that are happening, and it's perpetrated against Christians. Now, Tom here on Wednesday night's giving some lessons about this. He's doing a fantastic job about the very same thing that I am. He's getting ready to teach the book of Amos, which I think we studied about this. It's just like it was in the time of Israel during the time of Amos. But Christianity, and he made this statement Wednesday night, and I fully agree, Christianity is being attacked in this country right now. If you're a Christian, you are on target from our federal government. I'm sorry to say, but it's happening. And just watch the news, and you'll see it more and more and more. In Daniel, you know the story of Belshazzar. I won't read it for time's sake. But in the book of Daniel, in the fifth chapter, we noticed there was a king by the name of Belshazzar. He was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson. It says a different terminology. It was your father, but it's really grandfather. And Daniel goes on to tell him after he has seen this handwriting on the wall. He's having a big party. So he gets out God's vessels from the house that Nebuchadnezzar brought in. And he's having a big party, drinking to the gods of stone and wood and on, all the pagan gods. And he's having this big, lavish party with his concubines and his wives and everybody. And we all know the story. This hand came out and wrote, "Meeny, meeny, tickle you, farson," upon the wall. Nobody could tell him what it meant. But it shook him up so bad, even in his drunken stupor, the Bible says that his knees began to shake and quaking, and he knew something big was up. So he calls for all of his astrologers and magicians to tell him what it meant, and they couldn't tell him. They said, "There's an old man here that can probably tell you that dealt with your grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. He can probably tell you." So they go get Daniel. Daniel's old, probably in his 90s about this time. And he comes in. He says, "Yeah, I can tell you what it is." He said, "It means you've been found, you've been judged, you've been weighed, and you've been found wanting." Now, every politician in the United States of America should read that story, because it goes to directly point out their behavior against God. Now, this is what he was doing, and he had gone directly against God, just like a lot of our politicians today are doing, diametrically opposed to God's Word. They don't want it anymore. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know what it says. But it's going to judge them, just like it judged Belshazzar. And Daniel said, "You've been found weighed. You've been wanted. And hey, you don't measure up. You are throwing this in God's face with His holy vessels. They're doing it with God's Word today, His holy Word." And he said, "You're going to be judged." By the next morning, he was dead. The Medes and the Persians came in and killed him in his palace. Now, our people who are leading our country today had better wake up, because they're going to get judged by God's Word, the very one they're wanting to take out, remove the symbols that belong to the faith of Christ, and get rid of all of that. They're doing the very same thing that Belshazzar did in his palace back in Babylon. And he got judged harshly for it. And I'll say this, any politician, the same thing is going to happen to you if you do not take God's Word serious. The more you try to stamp it out, the harsher it's going to judge you. So they better be really, really careful. I want to read the second Psalm. I've read it to you before, but I want to read it again. It is so powerful. Every person who is going to take a public office or an office of authority in this land and be part of our government should read this Psalm very, very carefully. Now, whether they like it or not, no matter how many laws they make or how many rules they make and try to get rid of Christ, here's going to be an end result for each and every one of them. "Why do the heathen rage," that means the nations, the goyim, "why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying." Notice this. The kings of the earth get together. The rulers of the nations get together. And they say, "We don't need you, God. We don't want you. We don't want your word. We don't want anything to do with you. We're going to rule you out." But God here says, they imagine a vain thing, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords." God, we don't want anything to do with you. We'll take care of matters the way we want it. We'll form our governments like we want it. We don't need these values that you have set down for mankind to live by. We're going to cast away their cords from us. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." This is what God looks at their puny efforts. "He shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." They're going to get in confusion. Look at the governments today that have cast off His Word. Look at Europe. Europe today is paralyzed over there. The Islamic movement is moving in over there. They're paralyzing the citizens. They're paralyzing the governments. They are frightened out of their wits. But you know what? They've rejected God's word over in Europe. I lived over there. Tom can tell you, too. He lived over there for 10 years. What it's like over there. You know what there's a term the Europeans use today. You know those great cathedrals over there, these vast monuments like Notre Dame and all those. And I've been through a lot of them. They call them the tombs of God. This is what they're called over there today. You go to a Sunday worship service over there for most of them, and there'll be a handful of people in this massive cathedral that's been there for 1,000 years. Just a handful of people. You ought to hear the messages that they get. No wonder. But they call them the tombs of God. That's what they are. They're converting a lot of them, a lot of the churches over there, into restaurants, into businesses, because nobody goes anymore. This is the way Europe's living today. This is where we're headed if we don't change. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. When God gets enough of it, enough of our leaders, our government leaders, he's going to lay the hammer down. It's exactly what he's going to do. And it says in his sore displeasure, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He's talking about Christ. Here's who's going to be ruling you. You kings, you think you're big shots? I'm going to vex you when I get mad. In other words, I'm going to judge you. And then I'm going to put my king up, the one you're rejecting right now, Jesus Christ. He's going to rule. I will declare the decree the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. You're special, and I'm going to put you up as ruler of the world. Now, people don't like that. The United Nations would hate to hear that message today, but that's exactly what Christ is going to do. He's going to rule the world. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. There's going to be no square inch of this earth that Christ is not going to rule. So these leaders and these rulers today, the presidents, the kings, the dictators, are going to one day, if they're still alive, most of them won't be, are going to bow down to him. He's going to be the King of kings, Lord of lords, and ruler of this earth, whether they like it or not. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Now when he comes back, Christ to rule, at the for the millennial reign, it says he's going to break them with a rod of iron. He's coming in judgment. He's not going to be the nice and nicey little pansy guy that everybody likes to paint him. He's coming back mad. He's coming back with a rod of iron. And those that oppose him and who hate his word and are kicking him out of the public life today are going to be faced with a mad God. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Wow, I'd like to see him walk in Congress right now. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. God here says, you better be wise, you better take my word, and you better be instructed, you judges of the earth. The only way they're going to get instructed is to read his word. This other stuff that they're putting out is coming from their own minds. It's worthless. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I wonder how many of our leaders and our politicians fear God. You know, I will say this from the words I hear out of their mouths, the speeches I hear from most of them. They don't have any fear of God whatsoever. They think that they're gods. They're setting themselves up as God. And it goes on to say here, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little. Hey, all he's got to do is just get mad a little bit and you're going to be smashed down. What when he really gets mad? We know what's going to happen. The Bible tells us. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Not anything else, but in him. He's the one they better put their trust in. So every politician, the ones I run into, I tell them, read Psalms 2. Take heed to what it is. Now, we got an election coming up here in November that probably will decide the history of this nation. I will say that. I mean that in all sincerity. I've never felt this way since I've been alive in this country, but I do feel that right now. What's the future of America? I'm not a prophet. I don't know. But there are certain scenarios that can happen. I see things shaping up to some of these events that could possibly happen. if our government leaders continue to go against God, against His will, cast out the Bible, cast out His Word, say you can't teach it in schools, you can't do this, you can't do that. There was a meeting of elderly people the other day, say a little while back, I don't know, the other day, but anyway, the government was going to have this senior citizens lunch day on the U.S. government. Well, one of the older gentlemen got up to ask the blessing, and the government leader said, no, you can't do that. This is a government function sponsored by the government, paid for by it, and you can't say a blessing. Every one of the senior citizens got up and walked out. Every one of them did. Congratulations. You know, show them that you're not going to do that to us. And this is what Christians should be standing up for right now and do that. What are the scenarios about America? If you study the Bible, if you study prophecy, which I do, I love prophecy, I don't see America directly mentioned anywhere in Scripture. Now, I know there's a lot of people who argue me about that, and that's okay. There have been hundreds of books written about prophecy in America. A lot of people make a lot of money by coming out with these books and tell what's going to happen to American prophecy. I do not see anywhere in these 66 books that America is mentioned in prophecy. Directly. Maybe indirectly, but it's not enough there to tell us that it is America. So what does that mean? That means that America, evidently, for the great future events that we all study in here when we do study prophecy, America is not present as any kind of a player. What does that mean to America? Have we gone down? Have we been crushed as a superpower? Right now, they say we're the only superpower. I'm going to tell you right now, that's just in word only. We're broke. Okay? We're $16 trillion in debt. And when you're $16 trillion in debt, you're broke and you're not powerful. The ones that are powerful are the ones that's got the money. And that's not us right now. So what happens to America? Do we implode economically? And when I say implode, that's exactly what I mean. I don't mean explode. I mean implode. With the debt level that we have got right now, there is no way that a nation can sustain itself with the debt load that we have got and the debt that we are continuing to accumulate by the day. I'm not talking about by the month or the year. I'm talking about by the day. If you want to see how big it is, log on to your computer and type in national debt clock and sit there and watch that thing tick like some kind of a wild-running clock. I mean, we are going so deep in debt, just in the 30 minutes or 40 minutes we've got here just in this class, it is astounding. Now, no nation in all of history has been able to sustain anything like this. And no one has ever even been where we are. We're in uncharted territory economically. So are we going to implode financially and destroy ourselves? That's one possibility. What about natural disasters? We could have, the experts say, three natural disasters happen within close proximity of each other time-wise, and it would wreck the country immediately. What about the volcano that's sitting out there in Wyoming? Experts say if it explodes like it did back some time ago, and everybody argues about the time, I don't know, but it's sitting there. We know it's there. It's becoming active. They say if it explodes, it could wipe out half the United States within a week. So what's going to happen to America? I don't know. I really don't know. But these are the different scenarios. We're going to have terrorists come in here, destroy our infrastructure. It could easily be done. They have nuclear weapons. They have bacteriological weapons. They have chemical weapons. It can be done. They have the capability right now. Don't let anybody kid you. They got the capability right now. Is that going to happen? I don't know. But I do know this. If there's not a spiritual awakening in this country, that we will cease to exist as we know America today. Now, there's been two great awakenings in the history of this nation. I'm going to tell you the two of them. One of them was the first great awakening. It was in 1700 to 1760. If you study the history and you study the society was in those times up to 79. Then there was a great revival in this country. It started around 1700. and it went to about 1760. And then we had the Revolutionary War. Then after that, the country again declined back into low morals and on and on. I'm not going to get into all that. You can study that yourself in history. And then there became another Great Awakening, which happened around 1800 to 1850. And then the Civil War occurred. And then that brought the nation back together again as a nation. And then after that, for a period of time, we were a nation that really loved God's Word, sent missionaries all over the world, spread God's Word by print just everywhere in the world and all that. Now we're starting to decline again. Is God going to allow a third awakening? I don't know. I don't know. But I will say this. If we don't have this third awakening, this country, as we know it, will cease to exist. I'm going to close with this right here. Yes.
What?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've seen all of that. Well, I'm going to give you a little piece of information. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to tell you this right now. This week, the U.S. Army just made the first female brigadier general who is an open lesbian. And the first time in the history of the United States of America, our Army has put a star on a shoulder of a lady who is an open lesbian. Okay? Now, when I was in the military, that would have never, ever been heard of. Let me read you something here, and I'll close with this. What are we Christians to do? We're to strengthen the individual believers in our churches. This is first and foremost, okay? This is why I teach what I do. I believe that this is what should be taught Americans today, Christians. You are to get stronger. Each and every one of us needs to be stronger. Here's what a man wrote, and I don't think I can make it any better, so I'm going to quote him. The future of America will ultimately rest not on politicians, but on the fervency of God's people in sharing their faith as credible witnesses to the Christ who saved them. Unless the culture changes, America will not change. And that change is best brought about one life, one family, and one community at a time. This is what we as Christians should be doing. Strengthening each other, strengthen our families, strengthen our churches, strengthen our community. Now, God can change all this and turn it all around if it's His will. But if we don't do this, and it becomes to a point to where our leadership and our nation has gone so far that God has said, you've crossed the line. Now remember, we're studying Jeremiah, and that God told Jeremiah, your people have reached the point to where there is no return and judgment's coming, Jeremiah. So I'm just going to let you know that. So we need to be careful in America that we don't cross that line if we haven't crossed it already. I don't know. All I know is that we can pray, we can hope, and we can strengthen each other, our churches and our communities, and pray that we have not crossed that line. You know, we don't have a prophet running around now that says, you've done it now, guys. But we do have this book, and we do know what God says. And He says, I'm against what's going on. I'm against what you're doing. You're forgetting my word, and you're taking everything down that points to me in your country. And if you keep doing it, you're going to be judged. That's all I can say. We will go back to Jeremiah next Sunday. Now, I'm going to do it a little bit different. We've got about half of Jeremiah left. A lot of Jeremiah is repetitive, as you know. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take each chapter. I'm going to condense it down to the major verses of each chapter. There's just too much of Jeremiah that is so important to the future that has not happened, that I don't want to abandon Jeremiah, but I don't want to continue to repeat a lot of things because it was to the Jewish nation warning them. But I do want us to get the rest of Jeremiah under our belts, so I'm going to do it in basically a condensed form. Anybody have any questions? Benny.
Do you know if other churches, whether Baptist or what denomination, are doing the same type studies that you're doing in their churches?
There are a few churches that I'm aware of in the United States right now that are doing some studies like this. There's a few. The large majority are not. I'm sorry to say that. Okay. I'm not aware of any in this area, Sherry. You know, Tom and I have talked about this a lot. Tom and I, you know, we've talked about it, and he is very concerned about our nation, as I am, and we've talked about it. And he said, that's why I'm going to teach Amos. You know, I want to teach this series on when a nation forgets God and just show you examples of what's happened in history and what's going on. It's exact parallel. So we need to wake up, and I think it's my job to do that. If I don't do it, I think God's going to hold me accountable. But anyway, that's the thing. If anybody has any questions or comments, if you ever need me, don't hesitate to call me. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time to study your word. We thank you that we, Lord, have the knowledge of your word, that we're not without it, so we should not be caught unawares, that we can discern the sign of the times, Lord, of what is going on, and recognize the onslaught against your word and your will and your ways. And let us become stronger as your children, that, Lord, that we should carry this word to others around us, and pray, Lord, that we will have another awakening, a third awakening in this nation before it's too late and you have to put the hand of judgment upon it. Lord, be with us this week. Guide and direct all of us. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Y'all call me this week if you need me.